and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Employ your own disability support workers without the admin hassle. Visit carersolutions.com.au.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the podcast. Nick and Jules with M. No Jules, just M. And Nick. We are in the midst of trying to look. Here's a peek behind the scenes. Let's take you into our world of what this morning's been like. Don't let them peek in, man.
This curtain's really dark. I don't want them seeing through it.
Are you a mic too? Guest too?
Yeah.
I don't know. You sound different to me. I don't know why that is.
I was putting on a weird voice.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Worth a workshop. Worth a workshop,
okay,
that
yeah,
voice.
Fair enough. Don't use it on the show.
Well, you never know. Come back. It's, you know, people might have got used to your voice now that Jules is gone for a little bit, and then throw them through the ringer again with a new voice.
Surprise!
Never know who to expect. One of many personalities. Behind the scenes today, we are trying to organise an interview with Osha to come on the show next week to talk about the new season of The Masked Singer. And just through a clerical error.
I haven't heard the word clerical in ages.
Since you last played Monopoly? Is that a Monopoly thing? Where it's like a clerical error in your favor. Take $500.
What Monopoly are you? Yeah, maybe
one with
is.
Lots of clerical errors.
Yeah, a clerical error has really kind of knocked us for six, or whatever the term is, sport.
You can get knocked for six.
Yeah, we're knocked for six.
You know, I'd argue we were knocked for four.
Okay.
I think knocked for six would be way more rattled. We're just kind of like, oh, annoying.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's another radio station that's running that's just taking up too much time.
And the thing is, right, about what we do, in our little sphere, we feel like the most important people.
Oh, absolutely. And in my mind, we are.
But externally, we are but one of many.
Oh, minnows.
What does minnow mean?
It's like a small fish.
Oh, yeah, we're minnows. Yeah, we're minnows.
Yeah.
We're plankton.
I think we're above plankton.
Oh, okay, we're minnows.
There's certainly lots of plankton out there.
Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah. we eat plankton for breakfast.
Oh,
lunch,
okay,
and dinner.
All right.
He is at another station filming content. I'd love to know what he's filming. That'll be interesting to find out at some point when that gets released by the station. It's unfortunately delaying, by the sounds of things, a good chunk of the country who's trying to talk to him at the moment. Very inconsiderate.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is what it is. When you have the person in person, I think, you know, you kind of do take every little bit of anything you can get. You know, they'll have content for at least 2 months.
Yeah. He did used to do the show with that specific, like he used to be the fourth person on that breakfast show as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes total sense. I forgive them entirely.
Do you?
I'm not even annoyed at all. I'm happy. I'm thrilled for them.
All right. This has been a weird turn of events. I'm still perturbed.
Are you?
I'm perturbed.
You know, perturbed is a word that I would use to describe you.
He's constantly perturbed.
Not constantly, but at least a good...
Oh, a good chunk of the morning I'm perturbed.
70% of the time.
70% perturbed?
I think so.
I think I'm pushing that number higher than that.
Thoughts, feelings? Do you think it's higher?
I reckon I'm perturbed. No, you're right, actually. The higher is not good, is it?
No.
Because I'm living in a perturbed state.
Totally. And also, like, does that mean every time that you're, like, laughing and having a nice time, you're secretly perturbed? That's not a good way to live.
No. Well, I'm perturbed now. Mm-hmm. Fair to say I've been perturbed since – I had a bit of an on-air stuff up today. I've been perturbed since about 8:39 this morning. Yeah. So we're coming up on about an hour and 9 minutes since I've been being perturbed.
But I think we can let it go now, right?
I think so, too.
Let's just, like,
so.
You know how there's those things where you, like, pull the energy from one end of your arm to your fingertips and you shake it out?
What kind of hippie magic are you talking about?
I don't know. It must be maybe some Reiki. You know, you just kind of like pull the bad energy out of your body through your arms and then you shake it out your fingers.
How Reiki? Have you had like a Reiki healer?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
How is that?
I wholeheartedly fully experienced the power of Reiki. I was in I was at an ashram in Nepal. And I was
okay,
doing.
So you were tripping on something.
No, not at all. It was a really quite intense yoga retreat, actually. When I was about 25, I went through this stage where I was really into yoga. I would go every morning at 6 a.m. to this beautiful yoga studio in south of Melbourne. And it was in a little treehouse. And I became very, very good at yoga. And I became very good at meditation. And so for my 25th birthday, I basically looked online for the cheapest ashram in the world. Because they're really quite expensive, especially when in places like Australia or in Bali even, because lots of people do them.
Mm.
And so the cheapest ashram I could find was in Nepal.
Now, I assume you're about to, but what is an ashram? Explain.
An ashram is like a retreat, basically, where you do yoga, meditation. It's like basically like holistic a holistic experience where you just kind of, you can take a vow of silence, which I did for, I think, 5 or 6 days.
Really?
Unbelievable, I know.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, and I was completely silent. You know, actually, one of the most powerful moments, I'm really taking a tangent, but one of the most powerful moments that I've ever had in my entire life was at this ashram. I hadn't spoken for 4 days. And you know how in life, when you're not talking, maybe you're walking down the street, you're thinking, oh, the sun feels nice today, or look at that tree. Oh, that's a cute puppy. I like that woman's outfit. Mm. You have little internal monologue the whole time, right? Oh, there's a red light. Oh, the computer screen's wrong. Blah, 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 blah. 4 days into my silence at this retreat, I was walking on our daily walk. We do a walk every day at about 3. Walking on the walk and it probably maybe 5 to 10 minutes into the walk, I had a thought, and the thought was, oh my God, I haven't had a thought for 5 minutes. So my brain was completely silent. So there was nothing. There was literally nothing. I was walking, seeing stuff, feeling stuff, you know, the movement of walk, no, not a single thought. Mm. I was silent, but my brain was also silent. It was wild. Wild.
Sorry, I just passed out for a second there. My brain also, I think, went silent. I caught the back end of it. That's so interesting. Mm. I guess that's what meditation is, though they try to make it to be, right? Like it's switching your brain off in some capacity.
Well, actually, the way they teach you to meditate is to not necessarily switch your brain off, because that's really hard. But if a thought comes into your mind, you think it and you throw it away. So it's just about not fixating on one thought.
Okay.
It's the way that you can visualize it is if it's a koi pond and there's koi fish going, you know, in and out of the pond, that's your thought. You let the koi fish pass, let it go. Let the next one pass, let it go. Oh, a dog's barking, let it go. Oh, there's a woman across, let it go. So you quickly have the thought and then you release it. That's how you start anyway. And then the idea is to slowly quiet your mind, yeah. Why did I start talking about the ashram in Nepal?
You should consider a silent vow again.
That was a powerful moment in my life.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. You know,
what was the point of my story?
We went from, let's backtrack. We went from ashram, yoga retreat.
Before that, though, there was a reason I was talking about that retreat. It had to do with, Reiki healing.
Guess because I was been perturbed since 8:39 this
and
morning.
I'm trying to tell you to throw away your bad energy.
Well, I was unperturbed from now I'm back to being perturbed. All right, yes, you Reiki. You had a Reiki experience.
Yeah, so a couple of the people on the trip were, I think they were Swedish, and they had come and they were in the final moments of their Reiki healing
degree.
Certification. Yeah. And so they were like, "Oh, can we practice some Reiki healing on some of the people that are here?" And so they did it. And like, I swear to you, just like they just hover their hands over your body, right? And then when they reach a point where they think, oh, you know, there's some healing that needs to happen here, they will like kind of just stop at the part where and so my tummy, my stomach area was like the part where I obviously needed to have some healing.
Mm.
And it was.
Did you feel sick?
No, I felt. Oh. No, it was an emotional. It was an emotional.
Okay. Sorry.
You just rolled your eyes so far into the back of your head. But
that's
it
good.
Burned. Like, it didn't burn, but, like, it heated up.
It might have been food poisoning.
No.
It sounds like
I could feel the energy. Your eyes are closed and you can't feel their hands, but I could feel where their hands were because it would, like, warm up.
Yeah,
because
their hands were near you.
No.
Right?
No. Wasn't it cold in Nepal? You don't know unless you know. It wasn't that cold. It wasn't that hot either. It was lovely.
Well, it was hot where their hands were. They had hot hands.
You reckon they just like hold a heater, like a little mini heater in their hands, and your eyes are closed, so you can't tell.
Your eyes are closed, and they get up really close and go, and you go. Whoa.
Whether or not you believe in it, I certainly had an experience that made me think, okay, there's some validity in this.
I am interested by all those styles of, I don't want to say medicine because I think that's also slightly misleading, but like those like healing, these therapies in mm-hmm. varying degrees. I don't believe in a lot of them. Just because I understand how I think science works, but I'm open to the idea of having it affect me in the sense that like, it's my similar opinion. I think I've said this too about ghosts. So Reiki and ghosts apparently very heavily linked to me. But if I was ever to be like having Reiki done on me or some version of that sort of Eastern philosophy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I felt something that I couldn't explain, then I'd believe in a second.
Yeah,
I'd be like, all right. That's it. That's legit.
Well, you know what we need to do?
Get a Reiki guy.
Get a Reiki guy.
Do you have a Reiki guy on call?
I do not have. That's the only time I've ever dabbled in Reiki, that one time in Nepal.
And you never went back. Why?
I don't know. It's just probably.
Do you want to waste your money on
I was going to say, it's probably expensive.
It does strike me as something that, like, if you are a believer in Reiki, I feel like, you know, you might be easily taken advantage of.
I just think you haven't. You just haven't had Reiki healing. But also, I don't know.
True. I've definitely said that.
I don't know. I believe in, like, juju sort of stuff.
Okay.
Like, I wear the same necklace every day, you might have noticed. And that's a crystal. So I'm a crystal gal.
Is that true? Is that actually why you wear it, because of the crystal in it?
Yeah. It's labradorite. Nick's like, who have I been doing this show with for the last 3 weeks?
I didn't realize.
But to be fair.
What does labradorite do?
It's protection. So
of course. No, that makes sense. That's why you haven't been shot yet.
Exactly. So that's how I remain safe and able, baby. Now, a psychic told my mum that I needed to have labradorite near my heart to protect me from bad energy. And I've been wearing it every day since I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. True story.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's would you wear it? You never take it off?
I take it off to go to sleep.
Okay. So you're vulnerable when you're sleeping.
Yeah. But it's not about physical hurt. It's about.
Oh, and bad energy can get you when you're sleeping. That's how nightmares happen.
But
that's why you have dream catches.
I sleep quite well, thank you very much.
Oh, mate. They are just biding their time.
You reckon it's all just like,
if there's any bad energy listening to the podcast, just know that
don't send it my way.
Well, no, I'm not saying send it your way. I'm just saying be aware that M's vulnerable at night.
Why would you even speak that into existence?
For the bad energy? If you are somehow a bad aura, don't go near M. Got him.
Do you think
that the bad energy that wards off is the same energy that dream catchers are supposed to prevent?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
Didn't study dream catchers, obviously.
No. I had a dream catcher once.
Does the crystal, the neck crystal, the labradorite, does
Let's
that...
not call it a neck crystal.
Well, that's what it is.
My necklace, yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's what the other word is.
Mm-hmm.
Does the crystal, interest, does that extend to other... Do you have other crystals in your life?
I have the same...
Oh.
I have the same stone on a ring.
Yeah, so that way you can punch the bad energy as well.
Well, I actually got this in Nepal. This ring in Nepal.
And it only cost me $10,000 from the Reiki healer.
Can I just say, it's pretty good that I've been here for 3 weeks and you had no idea about this secret. Oh, it's not even a secret, but you didn't know about this angle of my being.
No, I just, for the best, I think it would have... It would have really sculpted how I thought of you the last
100%. But now you've got to know me before you got to know this. So.
And it adds, you're right, it does add an extra interesting little wrinkle.
Yeah.
A little layer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I suppose because you seem rational in other regards. So it's, because, but if anyone ever led with, hey, I'm a crystal girl, you'd go, oh, okay.
I wouldn't even consider myself a crystal girl, to be totally honest.
Mate, I think everyone listening right now considers you a crystal girl.
Well, I don't have like a crystal collection or anything.
No, actually, just the one that you wear around your neck every day.
I am a crystal girl. I don't care. I'm proud of it. It is what it is. I am who I am.
She's a crystal girl, so bad energies do not attack her.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Bring it on. If you do, she's got one connected to her fist, so she'll punch the hell out of you. All right, that's the podcast. Up and down. We are hopefully turning to Osha very shortly, like 20 minutes away. Otherwise, you'll hear him on the show next week, I believe. I'm not really sure when it's supposed to be. Probably Monday, right?
Yeah, yep. The show starts next Tuesday.
The show, The Masked Singer, he's back for. I'm looking at the costumes. We've got the costumes open right now. We've been saying to each other this morning that the costumes are a little unsettling.
Some of them. Some of them are really cute. Like, I just feel like if you were one of the celebs, you'd feel a bit duped if you got one of the really scary ones. Unless, of course, you're like a villain, an actor that always plays a villain or something. And That's true. You're like, this is so me.
Do you think that the costumes are heavy?
I think yes.
Some of them look quite dense. Like,
that's the other thing.
Heavily, very heavy prop.
You're inhibited. You're inhibited by your costume. Some of them.
Yeah, some of them are good. Like Bouncer, which is like a big kangaroo. He's got like he looks like he has the full dexterity of all limbs and nothing else. But then I look at Burger Gal, and she doesn't seem to have arms.
You know, that's how I like my real burgers without
armless. Hey, I love a Big Mac. Can you make that armless? It was going to be.
But Thanks for clarifying.
Well, I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, the one day that I don't ask for it to be armless, it's, you know, it's a bad day.
Yeah.
All right, that's the podcast. We'll see you later, everyone. Bye.
And if you are, you know, maybe you've been on the work site for a few hours already. I don't know when you started. Maybe you're looking at Smoko, about to go off for a vape. Listen up, because you know what? Obviously, we all know, probably not the best thing for you, but guys listening right now, here's an extra reason to not vape.
All right.
To give it up. I have plenty of mates who I see them sucking away on a USB stick and then just puffing out
a
cloud
of smoke.
That's
the most dad thing I think I've ever heard you say.
I've heard, that's because I heard my dad say that recently. It's been stuck in my head. And I go, so true, Dad. Absolutely spot on, Dad. Well, I'm going to say that on the show. But a new study has come out that's revealed some of the side effects, the unfortunate side effects of vaping. And I think, generally speaking, the wider population knows that it's bad. Even a lot of vapers probably know that it's not great for them, but I guess there's a little bit of addiction hiding around in there. Scientists have discovered that using e-cigarettes, or vapes, can reduce the size of your testicles, lower your sex drive, and as well, reduce your sperm count. Just bad news all around for blokes.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that. Is having small testicles a problem?
It's not a great thing.
But I mean, obviously the sperm count thing, like the actual use of the testicles is the important part, right?
Yeah.
For most people. But like aesthetically, are we also concerned about small testicles? Like from a male perspective? Like I just don't know. I'm just asking.
That's fair. I think I'm not too concerned. But again, if they were to get so small, like if they'll get to a certain size, I would start to go, oh, I'm worried. But that also being said, I'm not like sort of hanging them out there for the world to see all that often.
Exactly.
Like from time to time, I'll hang them out.
I'm not like pro vaping whatsoever, but I'm just curious.
But you're
as
pro
to
testicle size. I'm pro no, I'm large
just,
testicles.
I'm just curious as to, you know, because obviously the actual, you know, instrument itself, people are concerned about the size.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that we also had fears for the testicles.
Right, nah. I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of all of Victorian men, but you know what? In that general, anything that the underpants hides, that's, you know, precious real estate that we can't afford to be giving up our land down there.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so the studies here obviously reveal that increased usage leads to obviously a bigger decrease, or a higher decrease, I should say, in overall testicle size, sperm count as well, which is obviously not great if you're looking to have, you know, like kids or something, you know. This generation.
Kids or something? I think it's just kids.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, maybe you just like to count the sperm count. I don't know what you're up to. Everyone's got their hobbies, don't they? Obviously, this generation has, on average, a lower sperm count than generations previous as well, which isn't great news. And then when you throw vaping in the mix there as well, we go, oh, okay, not great. They did conduct this experiment initially on rats.
Oh.
So, which also means that there was someone's job was to stick a vape in a rat's mouth.
I'm
pretty sure this is how science works, Em. They said, what flavor do you like? And the rat said, watermelon.
Give me the watermelon USB.
And then we let it rip on the vape for a few weeks. Someone had to go in there and measure the rat's testicles. So if you're a scientist, if you're a rat testicle scientist.
Thanks for your hard work.
We appreciate you.
An individual has made me feel horrendous.
Sorry.
We'll get to that later. But a different individual has made me feel horrendous while trying to run, and I just really need to get it off my chest, okay?
Well, good on you for trying to run.
The word that is really important in that sentence is trying, because it's only been 2 days.
Well, let me tell you, as someone who's been trying to run for years now, it doesn't get better.
Well, I might give up, to be honest, because I feel so terrible about it. So, went for a run yesterday and the day before yesterday, and I'm only 2 days into my running journey. I'm not good at it at all, let's be honest.
And we're staring down the barrel of day 3 today, are we?
Correct. And I mean, after this, what I tell you, maybe I won't run at all. I don't know. But I consider myself relatively fit. Like, I'm 30. I'm relatively fit. I'm not the world's fittest, but I certainly don't consider myself not fit, right? Okay. And so I'm running and I'm doing the best I can. I've worked up a sweat. I reckon I've run like 400 meters at this stage.
You worked up a sweat at 400?
Yeah. Like, it was difficult for me, for sure. And I'm running and I'm like, okay, this is okay. Like, I think I'll be okay. I'm doing quite well. All of a sudden, this absolute, I don't want to say a rude word, but savage, just can't believe how rude this 85-year-old woman was to me, certainly in her 80s, runs past me, glides past me, even if you will.
Wow.
Makes it look easy at 85.
Well, 85, you've lived a lot of life. You know, you've got years of K's under your feet.
I suppose, yeah, but she just made me feel so terrible, Nick. Like,
I wouldn't feel bad. She's outrun much more than you've ever had to outrun.
Well, that's
true. She outrun, if 85, did you outrun Nazis? Are you old enough for the Second World War?
I'm outrun not sure, probably.
Global financial crisis? You've outrun a lot of stuff.
Okay. She's lived. I get it. But she didn't need to rub it in my face.
Yeah, well, this is what you've got to aspire to now, Em.
Well, the worst part is, even if I wanted to, like, tell her, hey, you hurt my feelings, you shouldn't do that, I couldn't even catch her if I wanted to. Tonight on 10 and 10 Play at 7:30, Thank God You're Here is back. And one of the people that are, I guess, scarily walking through, or excitedly potentially walking through, the blue door, Ray O'Leary. Ray, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a very exciting time. What is the feeling when you're about to walk through that blue door? Is it anxiety? Is it excitement?
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of anxiety because you don't know what to expect. It's a lot like this radio interview. I'm having the exact same feelings. It's all coming back.
Okay.
There's less costumes I found in radio, though.
I've dressed up. I don't know about you guys, but
that's true. I guess I've kind of got a lumberjack vibe going on.
You do.
I'm wearing a flannelette. What have you gone with this morning, Ray?
I'm in a caveman outfit, sort of the over-the-shoulder leopard print.
And you wear it well, might I say.
Thank you.
Ray, heading into tonight, going through that blue door, thank God, yeah, we've been fans of it, obviously, Australia for a long time. What's the closest thing to prep work you can do before walking through?
That's, good question. I do have doors at my house, so you're able to walk you through those, obviously. But there's really nothing I could do to prep, I felt. So I tried to watch a few, old episodes, but all that helps you do is rule out the things that, you'll be doing, I watch Carl Barron pretend to be a Formula F1 driver, and then all I know is, oh, well, I'm not going to be an F1 driver, but there's still a billion other things I could have been. And, I can tell you, I could never have predicted what I was going to be. And even when I put on the outfit, I still hadn't quite figured out what I was going to be.
Wow. There's a lot of mystery involved. There's a bit of anxiety. Yeah. There's a lot of excitement. But surely there's nothing like that feeling of entering the room and then everyone being so excited to see you. They are so thankful that you're here.
I've never had it before in my life. I've never walked into a room and had anyone happy to see me. So it was a real nice change. You're just in this free-fall. Well, I found I was in this free-fall panic the whole time. You're just constantly going, I even started to forget what's going on, but it was, it's just pandemonium. And then the best possible way, it's exciting. The audience there is so supportive and so nice, and I had a lot of fun.
Well, as a performer, Ray, tell me this. You've got the adrenaline. You've got, like, you're going through freefall. You're doing the performance version of skydiving. How do you go under pressure, not just in, I guess, the thank God you're here scenario, but do you crack or do you sort of perform?
Oh, do I perform under pressure? Oh, man, this feels like a job interview now.
And what's your greatest weakness as well, Ray?
Yes. In 5 years, I see myself. I guess this was the ultimate test of that, and I like to think I did perform under pressure, but I would say I'm someone who crumbles like a leaf against the slightest amount of pressure whatsoever. So it was nice to not do that for once.
Well, Ray, you said that you had a similar feeling coming into this interview, and I can tell you also haven't crumbled like a leaf in this either.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Ray, you've got the job. Thank God you're here. Continues tonight at 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. You can go see Ray not crumble like a leaf. Go check out that man go through the blue door. Thank God you're here. It's back. Ray, thanks for your time this morning, mate. We appreciate it.
No, thanks so much for having me, guys.
13:10:60 right now. They were asking, when did you know you were an adult? Because, yes, technically it happens when you're 18, but sometimes there's something like an event that triggers and you go, oh, I've got responsibility now.
When was the aha adult moment?
That's what we want to know. Hit the phones. And if you get to air, we'll put you on the shortlist to score a free pass, a double pass, to head along to Friday's Live to catch the likes of Jason Derulo, Boys to Men,
Kelly Rowland.
Hey, Fat Man Scoops there. He's the
Flow Rider.
President of Party. It's a massive event. Australia's biggest party returns November 10. Tickets are also on sale tomorrow. Or like we said, we're giving a free pass away this week. Let's hit the phones right now on 131060. Tash from Mildura. When did you know you were an adult?
When you put the window down and start yelling at kids to get off the road.
Oh, Tash, that's a good adult one.
But Tash, ballpark it for us. What age did that happen to you?
About 28, I reckon.
28? Well, I'm 28, so, and you know what, to be honest, I also do look out on the road and I see kids on scooters at the front of my house and I go, where are your parents?
I think it's the motion of winding down the window that really kind of is the kicker in this one. It's like, I think when you're about to be an adult, you see the kids. But when you are the adult, the window's going down.
Yeah. And also, I think the act of winding it gets your heart rate up. So you're already pumped up and ready to yell and explode once you see them. Tash, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
32.
We've had a
good 4 years.
4 years of being an actual adult. Has it been everything it's cracked up to be?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully the next four are better to you, Tash. Thanks for the call.
No worries. Bye.
I'd like to retract a statement just then about yelling at kids. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually really had too much of an inkling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to still feel young.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah. I'm backtracking now that Tash is off
the line. I actually want to... You just join the kids. That's the...
No, absolutely. I'll go get hit by a car. I don't care. Anything to preserve my youth. Over to Bendigo right now. We've got Chantel. What's the one thing that happened that made you go, oh, damn, I'm an adult now?
When I first moved out of home and realised that I was actually the one that had to cook the tea and I can't be like, hey, Mum, I really want this for tea.
Yeah, you have to be like, hey, me, I really want this for tea.
Yeah, there's no live-in chef. Chantel, when you first moved out, what was the diet comprised of?
Not a lot. Maybe 2-minute noodles and just sausages in bread.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, it's like the one or two ingredient meals definitely become a staple part of the diet. Years later now, has the cooking repertoire expanded?
Yes, quite a lot. So I've got cooking roast porks and roast chickens down pat quite perfectly.
All right. Wow, I'm impressed.
Just roast chicken every night at Chantel's house. That's not bad. All right.
I want Chantel to be my mum now.
Chantel, I'd probably love it.
Do you have kids, Chantel?
Yes, I do.
Are you mindful of teaching them how to cook now you've had that experience?
I have tried, yes. So my eldest, who's almost 16 now, he's pretty good at cooking. There's some things that I'm still like, oh, I'm glad I'm not eating that.
They still get the joy of eating your food, but you don't want the not joy of eating
theirs. It's nice to see them having a crack.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chantel, thanks for giving us a buzz.
Thank you.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Employ your own disability support workers without the admin hassle. Visit caresolutions.com.au.